Once it's equipped with the new contact tracing software, your smartphone will periodically exchange anonymized tracing keys with nearby devices via Bluetooth. The phone maintains a list of key collected of keys collected from people you have come into contact with that stays on your device, not a server, unless you test positive for coronavirus and report your diagnosis. If that happens, your phone will then upload those keys to a server that will send alerts to the owners of recently collected keys. The alert will not reveal who's infected. In this example, that's you, but it will share information for what people who are in proximity to you should do next. So, okay, so the anonymous part comes in where it doesn't tell the people being alerted who it was you were around that was sick. It just tells you you were around somebody and you need to self-quarantine. That's how they're going to try to get past. You're talking tens of billions of dollars. You're talking tens of thousands of workers and billions. I'm sorry, tens of thousands of workers and billions of dollars that they want to enact here for this, which is going to be ridiculous. Getting that amount of people into work and training that amount of people, and then the amount of processing and information and data entry that you have to do. So now what they are going to do is move towards an app. Get you to download that app, and then it uses that anonymous information, quotey fingers, and tracks you. But what happens when you download that app and you test positive for coronavirus, or there's a false negative? You're going to get a knock at your door from the Gestapo wanting to come and confiscate all of your possessions and take you away from your family and whisk you away to some type of COVID camp so that you can be healed and made to feel better and isolated from the public and taken away from everyone? Downloading this app and this information, that's where they're moving towards this. Because they're creating this, in order for them to move the economy forward, in order for us to open up, we have to have contact tracing. That's what they're saying. That's the requirement. But we don't have the money. We don't have the ability. We don't have the manpower to process that information. So now we're going to have you download an app. And that app is going to do that processing for you. And when we find out that you're sick or you've been around somebody who's sick, we're going to send out the Stasi to take you away. We're going to disappear you. The article says here that this naturally raises a lot of privacy concerns for Americans. Yes, it does. While policy experts have suggested ways to build public trust in these apps, a recent Washington Post University of Maryland poll found about 60% of Americans would not or could not allow their phone to be silently and anonymously surveil them, even in the name of public health. Oh my goodness, that means they value them, their own privacy and their own rights over the quotey fingers public health and good? Smartphone users were roughly split down the middle, 50-50. Another 1 in 6 Americans don't have a smartphone with the capability to run the kind of app Apple and Google envisioned. 50-50 is where it's split. 50% of Americans say, yeah, we want to go ahead and let you do this. The other 50 say they don't want to. But let me tell you this. It doesn't matter if 99.99999% of the people say that they wanted this app. The 0.00000001% of the folks who say they don't, their privacy wins out. A majority does not get to vote your rights away. You don't simply get to say, well, we're in the majority, we get to vote your rights away. That's not how it works. Rights stay in place regardless of whether or not the majority of people decide that they don't want those rights interfering with their lives or not. That's not the way this works. Now, what I think is great about this is that North Dakota set up the contact tracing app, asked people to download it so that they could track COVID-19. But get this, in North Dakota, only 3% of the state said yeah and downloaded the app. That's about 25,000 people. That's as of April 29th. Oxford researchers have estimated governments would need more like 60% of their citizens to participate for these apps to be effective. But it's not just an issue in the United States of America. So it's not just us saying we want our privacy rights. There are other countries that failed to achieve the necessary buy-in from their citizens as well. Just 20% of Singapore's population has downloaded its tracing app. Norway has done a little better, reaching 30%. But the government must still double that to reach the necessary market saturation for this to happen. And it's still not going to be enough, as Vox says here. It's still not going to be enough to prevent future waves. It's just, it's not going to be enough. 60% of the population still won't be enough for them to say that we can prevent this and stop this. But they're still going forward. That's Vox. It goes on here. There's a few other pieces of this article that that really weren't necessary to go through. I'm sure you can find that. We'll drop a link in the chat room for you if you'd like to do that. CrusadeChannel.com/chat. The only real social media worth being in and spending your time in is right there on the Crusader Stadium. Because if you don't succumb, if you don't say you're going to do the contact tracing, if we don't get the workers to do it, we'll just get an app. If you say you're not going to do the app, who's to say they don't make it mandatory? How many times have you gotten an Amber Alert on your phone? How many times have you gotten a national weather alert on your phone specific to your area? Where the government overrides your phone, whatever it is you're watching Netflix or you're listening to something online, listening to your music, or you're listening to the Crusade Channel via the app, and your phone just goes off. Who's to say that the government is just not going to step in and say, you got a smartphone, we're going to use it anyway. We're going to do it anyway. We're going to send you an alert. You're sitting in a restaurant. Somebody has tested positive for COVID ID. They walk in, all of a sudden, meh, 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 meh. I wanted to do that sound effect again. Your phone goes off and says, somebody with COVID has just walked in. And then everybody just rushes out the door. Who's to say that's not going to happen? But on top of that, countries are still pushing, not only for this COVID-19 tracing and contact tracing, but countries are still pushing for immunity certificates. Immunity certificates, like immunity passports, where you give your information to them. And then they create, so you send them tests and results of a COVID-19 test, and then they create a digital footprint for you, a digital profile, and then on this digital profile, you have a QR code, and when you go to an airport, or if you go to a restaurant, if you go to some type of establishment, you have to show your QR code, they scan your QR code that says you're good, and you can walk in. Biometricupdate.com says here that immunity certificates, if they are to be implemented, should be secured to protect privacy, ideally with biometrics, according to a white paper written by the ID 2020 Alliance director. The ID 2020, we've talked about that before as well, where they're trying to establish a biometric chip for everybody to have their identity on them around the world. And many think this is going to be administered by the 7 billion vaccines that Bill Gates wants to put into everybody. It goes on here in the biometric update article to say that we all share an obligation to protect public health, but that's not true. I don't have an obligation to protect public health. It says here that but doing so should not mean giving up our right to privacy. Proven technologies grounded in a respect for equity and human rights can be redeployed to help protect society from a resurgence of the disease and put control of personal health information in the hands of the individual. But this approach must be pursued cautiously with a full acknowledgement of the risks. Now, they always do this stuff. They'll always say, oh, well, it's all about, you know, your health, and it's all about your privacy, it's all about your rights. But what's going to win out? What will win out in this situation? Because they'll say it's about privacy, they'll say it's about rights, but what will win out in the efforts to try to mitigate this next great wave of the coronavirus attack that we're going to see? Society has proven, governments have proven, state officials and federal officials have proven that the greater good to them far outweighs your personal privacy and your personal rights. It far outweighs that. So when it comes to your individual privacy rights, when it comes to your information being protected, they're going to choose the greater good, quotey fingers, and public health, because that's what they think is a human right. That's what they think the responsibility that they have is to administer these measures. But my question is this. If the antibodies, which this story admits, if the antibodies don't protect you from getting sick again, if they don't guarantee that you're not going to build up an immunity to the COVID. What's the point in doing them? What's the point in having them? If it's not going to help you, if it's not going to protect you, if it's not going to keep you safe, what is the point? And that's where the wheels in my brain start turning here. Because if I create this profile, but the profile doesn't guarantee that I'm going to stay well, that I'm not going to get this sickness in the future, then why am I going to go through all this process to go through tests and show you these positive or negative tests and give you all of my information so that you can create this biometric identification for me that I can use a QR code and skip to the front of the line?